Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose-built for distribution. With real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and tools to make every day easier. Don't play catch-up. Visit Epicor.com/win.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Realpolitik. I am your host, Firas Modad. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Epstein files. And as we did on the podcast, what I'm trying to do here is to stay away from the more lurid, more sensational details that so far cannot be conclusively proven about what's happening with Epstein. So I'm not going to talk about how, you know, they ordered acid supposedly to dispose of bodies, when in reality, it actually, you have a trace of emails showing that it was a maintenance issue to do with the water at Little St. James Island. I'm not going to talk about the different potential references to all kinds of sordid things that we discussed earlier. Rather, what I want to emphasize is the ethnic nature of this network and how it acquires influence and how it uses that influence to gain control over more and more of Western economies and how that ends up playing out in real life. So this story that I want to tell you here, you know, it's not so much about all of this more potentially sensational stuff. It's about the reality that what you're seeing is a full-on takeover of the West through different ethnic networks that don't really have any concern with the interests of the regular working person, because this is an oligarchic class that's fundamentally built around finance, not around production. Meaning that there's nobody in this oligarchy with actual interests in productive assets, in manufacturing, in agriculture, in things that can provide things for you. Rather, it's all about financialization. And what I want to start with really is what's going on in the United States. And then I'm going to see how that plays out rather similarly in Britain and in France. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Ukraine war and what has happened that we know about in relationship to this network and the Ukraine war. And then if we have time, we might touch on the Middle East peace process in the 1990s. Otherwise, we'll just go straight to Q&A. And as usual, this is a live episode, so please, whenever you want, drop a comment in the chat or on the website, and I will get to it, time permitting. Now, when you want to think about Epstein, again, this point should be reiterated. This is fundamentally an ethnic network, a Brazilian ethnic network, or let's just say Jewish ethnic network, right? And that's really what defines them. And you have Ehud Barak, who is a former prime minister of Israel, more or less at the center of this stuff, in very regular communication with Epstein. He's being introduced to Peter Thiel. He's being roped in on all kinds of investment deals. There's one report about him and potentially Barak going into a SCIF, a Secure Communications and Information Facility, confirming the linkages to intelligence, confirming the linkages to Israel. And Netanyahu's come out to try and say that, no, Epstein isn't connected to Israel because he's working with Ehud Barak. And Ehud Barak is my enemy. And this is complete nonsense. This is complete and utter nonsense. The reality is that Barak, because of his former role as head of military intelligence in Israel and of chief of staff of the army, and actually, I believe, as Netanyahu's defense minister and as prime minister and other very senior positions, this guy is fully plugged into the security establishment. And we see examples here of Unit 8200, which is the electronic communications unit in the Israeli military. And what they're trying to do is to send their personnel into Silicon Valley, basically so that every technology company of note has a bunch of people who are former Israeli Defense Forces, who are committed to Israel first as the top priority of their agenda, working within Silicon Valley in order to be able to give the Israelis backdoor access, in order to help them continue their business, profit from business opportunities, to keep the Jewish oligarchs informed of what's happening in Silicon Valley, and to make sure that this network's influence actually spreads and expands. And you see a debate between Netanyahu and Barak over whether or not the priority is a greater Israel, as the hard right that's rallied to Netanyahu wants to achieve, or little Israel, which is what Barak says in one of the audio recordings he wants for the Israeli state. He doesn't want it expanded more because of the destabilization that it would create. But you can then sort of look back at history and see what happened after the 67 war. And after the expansion happened, there was consensus around it. And there was consensus around the peace treaty with Israel, which ceded a big part of that expansion, which is the Sinai Peninsula. So don't be distracted by the lurid details, and focus on how power is operating within this network, and focus on the influence that it has. And that's the influence that I want to discuss really in today's episode. And I also want to credit Nick Fuentes. He did an exceptional video on the nature of the Epstein network, tying together his main financiers, Les Wexner and Leon Black, obviously both of the tribe, who basically gave Epstein hundreds of millions of dollars and told him to go hunt. They gave him properties, they gave him access, and they saw that the guy was talented, and they unleashed him on the financial world in order to curry favor, get information, use his personal charm, which obviously exists, in order to build these relationships that would benefit their network. And the intersection point or the key node with Israel was Ehud Barak, who is on the left of Israeli politics, but he is as much of an Israeli nationalist as anybody else. Like, there's no debating that. So you should focus on the way that power is operating and not on the unproven details. And if they get proven, that is well and good. But until they do, here we are. Now, in terms of what's happening in the United States, we have here a report to the FBI that says that Epstein was deeply connected to Lutnick, the Secretary of Commerce in the United States, Howard Lutnick. And he gave, and Epstein actually gave him a property. And Lutnick grew his wealth through all kinds of nefarious means, things like money laundering and Ponzi schemes. We can't prove that. This is all alleged. But we do have emails here showing that there is a pretty close relationship between Lutnick and Epstein and other financiers, and that this has a, clear bearing on American politics. And then we also see that within this network, we see that Epstein was regularly interacting with Ronald Lauder, who is the heir of the Estee Lauder fortune and the head of the World Jewish Congress. And now it looks like his son-in-law, Kevin Warsh, is going to be placed at the top of the Federal Reserve Bank. And so if you're in finance, having the Secretary of Commerce and the head of the Federal Reserve on side means that pretty much every trade decision, every major financial decision that is going to take place under the Trump administration is something that you're going to know about. And you're going to know about it in advance. And advanced knowledge means trading opportunities. And it means that this network has more influence than ever over the real economy and the financial economy in the United States. And it means that the ability of this network to reward allies and punish dissidents by using the borrowed power of the American government is also going to increase. And it means that they will keep on pushing for policies that benefit this network and that benefit Israel. So you see a situation now where basically this network of financiers who keep open communication with Jeffrey Epstein after his conviction, who stay friends with him, who visit him on his island, and who are always in communication with him, these are the guys that are holding the reins of power over the American economy. And as we've covered in previous episodes, every time there's an economic crisis in Europe, the European Central Bank, the Swedish Central Bank, the Bank of England, and the Swiss Central Bank all need dollar bailouts from the Federal Reserve. Meaning that by having these positions of influence, pretty much all of Europe is kept in line. So this isn't a minor detail that these people are connected to Jeffrey Epstein and that now they control the Commerce Department and they control the Federal Reserve. And in the Treasury Department, if you look back, pretty much all of the actions of the Treasury Department in terms of sanctions are focused really on Israeli interests. So you have this weird situation where there is a massive amount of influence and a massive amount of control over the entire American economy by this network. And in Britain, it doesn't really look too different. What you have here is that, let me get to the right link. What you have here is that people in Israeli intelligence have been for years in Britain monitoring anybody who has any opinion supportive of the Palestinians all over the world, not just in the Palestinian territories, but also in the West. To the extent that we had a situation where Labour MPs are married to recruiters of the 8200 spy agency. Again, to remind you, Unit 8200 basically collects data on everything, everywhere, all the time. That is their remit. And they're really good at it. They're the guys who were at least partly responsible for sneaking the pagers to Hezbollah. They are the guys who monitor signals intelligence across the board. They have teams of people in Unit 81 which focus on developing new technologies on the battlefield that can then be used by the Israeli military. And these guys are in the Labour Party, and you have one of them actually working for Labour in the election campaign and continuing to this day. And his name is Asaf Kaplan. Now, this guy's role is basically to look at everything to do with messaging and PR online. So what you have within the Labour Party, run by Keir Starmer, is whose wife, as we know, is of the tribe, is someone who is there to help the party influence events or narratives online and to track Labour members. That's his job. This isn't directly connected to the Epstein network, but when you think of somebody like Peter Mandelson, who is the next topic that we want to discuss, you can see that this isn't limited to Mandelson, that this level of Israeli influence over the West is systemic and is very deep. And you can see that very much in Britain. Mandelson, to remind you all, Peter Mandelson was basically described as the as the architect of New Labour. New Labour, for those of you in the United States watching us, this is the Labour Party under Tony Blair from 1997 onwards. And it was the policy of the Labour Party, literally, to rub the right's noses in diversity. That was one of their objectives. And to achieve that objective, they pretty much opened Britain's doors to immigration left and right. I was one of the people who benefited from that, so I can say that. Or it's true, that's why I can say it, rather. And you see that this group of people consisted really of three top decision makers: Tony Blair, Alistair Campbell, and Peter Mandelson. These were the guys who were responsible for it. And Peter Mandelson was known as the Dark Lord in British politics. because of his fecundity when it comes to generating lies and narratives, and his ability to pretty much practice the dark arts of politics and force people to obey his will. So people like him and Alistair Campbell pretty much formed an incredibly formidable team that could bend the British press and make it say whatever they wanted, and that could help this project of diversifying Britain come what may. And Peter Mandelson had to resign a bunch of times in the past because of his corruption and because of his involvement in very shady, very corrupt practices. And he was in pretty much continuous contact with Epstein before and after his conviction, meaning that very sensitive information, such as the plan of the British state to sell a bunch of assets, such as privatization plans, such as decisions around the banking sector bailouts in 2008, 2009 onwards, such as the resignation of Gordon Brown. All of this information was released to Epstein before the public knew about it. And you know that this ends up generating endless trading opportunities. But you know that there is this ideological alignment as well, in terms of Epstein's view that's expressed in the emails, where he basically wants to create new men. He wants to create new architects for society. And he really wants to impose the managerial state by whatever means possible. And that's exactly the kind of project that Tony Blair had.
If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forge tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.